Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 11, and it has been a full holiday weekend of activity around the Pittsburgh Steelers. And first of all, happy Labor Day to everybody. Thanks for your support of the Terrible Podcast. It is a labor of love for Dave and I. So thanks for listening through the years.
Yeah, Dave. Good morning to you. I've got one of my fantasy drafts kicking off here in about an hour that I usually do on this day. And boy, we have a lot to talk about today. I mean, we knew we were with the roster being set, but quite a bit has happened since then. And I don't know, where do you want to start?
Let's start with Justin Gilbert, because I think that's obviously that came out of left field in terms of the acquisition. We knew they'd be looking at defensive backs on the waiver wire. So, Dave, you know, I think I can sum this up relatively concisely for both of us as this is the definition of a lottery ticket, a guy with great athletic gifts who went number 8 overall in the 2014 draft to the Browns. He was the guy the Steelers had interest in. Had he been there at 15, they may very well have picked him ahead of Ryan Shazier. Obviously, he was gone. He has been a knucklehead with the Browns. He's missed a ton of meetings. He just hasn't taken his craft seriously. He hasn't played much. There is certain questions about his ability, his technique as a defensive back. But I will tell you, if the Steelers win the toss against the Skins on September 12th, he is most likely the first Steeler to touch the football this year because he is going to be your kick returner.
Yeah, when this went down, David, on Twitter, my first reaction was stunned. And somebody fired back on Twitter saying, why are you stunned, you know? And I'll tell you why. Yes, I know the Steelers had some interest in him prior to that draft and all like that. But, I mean, as you put it, this kid has been a knucklehead. He hasn't lived up to expectations. And, oh, yeah, he has some guaranteed money still attached to his contract as well. Now, not so much this year talking about 2016 because the Browns were – Browns have eaten his roster bonus prior to this trading. But if you look, if you fast forward to 2017, you know, $2.17 million is all guaranteed there for Gilbert, of which $1.2 million is a roster bonus. So, you know, we talked about prior to cut down day that, you know, we thought that this team was going to go out and add a Ross Cockrell or an Antoine Blake or a DeMarcus Van Dyke, that kind of type of player there. Well, I don't think, you know, kudos to anybody that predicted that the Steelers were going to trade for a former first round draft pick. And as you stated, they traded for a kick returner who might be able to play cornerback.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea is, you know, you've got a guy, I think Alex Kozora made the analogy to the Allen Rossum trade when the Steelers traded the seventh way back when to bring him in as a kick returner. They traded, you know, we know they made the deals last year, a fifth for Boykin, a sixth for Hartley. This is that kind of deal. It is, you know, if I told you this guy would only be a kick returner, and that's the only thing he was going to do, or be on special teams as a gunner doing that. And you say you gave up a sixth-round pick, not this year, but the following year, 2018. And I told you he'll be one of the top five kick returners in the AFC. You'd say, well, that's a price to pay, but you save the wear and tear on Wheaton or Coates or whomever's going to be back there, or Toussaint, or, you know, they haven't really found their kick returner. They haven't had one for years. And you know, he's going to be a special teams player. He's going to be Shamarco Thomas. You'd say it's a little more expensive than you'd like, for the money in 2017. It's going to be, you know, it's $1 million more than you would like in that case. But okay, they take a flyer. Now, if he turns out to be anything, even in sub-package football, well, then this is a home run for the Steelers. And obviously the character issues, I'm not going to knock the Browns culture. This is all on Justin Gilbert. This isn't on the Browns in terms of they've got some guys. They've got some guys in that locker room, particularly last year, some veteran defensive guys who tried to instill and install the fundamentals of what it takes to be a professional football player in this kid, and it didn't take. So I don't know. I think Mike Tomlin's betting on the athletic ability. He's betting on his coaching ability. He's betting on Carnell Lake and Keith Butler's coaching ability. He's betting on the guys on that defense to, you know, keep him in line to some degree. But there is at least 50% chance, at least, that, you know, this is a failure, and that the Steelers maybe just even move on and eat the money after this year, depending on how he performs as a kick returner.
Boy, old Kevin Colbert walking around with a wheelbarrow lately, right? I hope a few people got that reference. You go out and you get a guy like Mettenberger, who, you know, bit of a knucklehead in the past, or not just a bit, a knucklehead in the past. A guy like Gilbert, who, I mean, no better way to describe him than that. As soon as he gets to Pittsburgh, I'd take him to Walmart to get a couple of alarm clocks.
For those who don't know, he told Mary Kay Cabot last year that he had missed a bunch of meetings. His words, a bunch of meetings. And she said, why? And he said, heavy sleeper. And she said, nothing more than that? And he said, no. And that's just, I mean, you know, you wouldn't accept that from the high school freshman, let alone a guy who was the 8th overall pick in the first round in 2014. It's almost unfathomable, but that's where it is.
Yeah, and back to the you know, Kevin Colbert and bringing these kind of guys in. The reason he probably does walk around with that wheelbarrow is because he has confidence in what he has in that locker room and the quote-unquote proverbial culture that they have in there, that, you know, Gilbert's going to walk into that locker room, Mettenberger's going to walk into that locker room, and they're going to have to, you know, there's a pecking order there, obviously, and they're going to be expected to live up and give certain sort of efforts and be on time and everything that goes along with that. Now, you know, I don't know what kind of policing system goes on in there, but you got guys like James Harrison on the defensive side of the ball. You got William Gay. Mike Mitchell's become a leader on the defensive side of that football. Cameron Hayward. Those are all guys that I think, you know, Mike Tomlin probably going to go to and say, look, you know, let Justin Gilbert know how it is here, and that if he doesn't square up, he's going to be back out on the street again, or he can, you know, start, you know, getting in line here and potentially, you know, have a Super Bowl ring here at the end of 2016, restore his career and be on track to get himself a lucrative contract here down the line.
Yeah, and so that's the way it's going to go. So, Dave, let's roll into the roster moves from that, and then we'll get into the Buzz Dupree, Senquez Golson situation. And, you know, obviously some of these things are tied together. But we look at the roster, and we'll just take the offensive side of the ball because that's easy and clean. And that went just about completely as expected. The real question was, were there going to be 8 or 9 offensive linemen? If there were 9, we knew B.J. Finney would be that 9th guy. There are 9. B.J. Finney's that 9th guy. Obviously, Eli Rogers, you know, you can throw the other 4 receivers behind Antonio Brown in a bucket in terms of what kind of snaps they're going to get, because they're probably going to be divided, you know, relatively evenly, I would think, here in the early weeks to see how things shake out. You know, the 3 backs with Bell suspended, the 3 tight ends, they didn't get a tight end on the waiver wire, although I think 5 or 6 tight ends did get claimed, all with picks, I think, in front of the Steelers. So we don't know if they tried to claim any of those tight ends. And, you know, the quarterback situation's set with Mettenberger. So nothing on the offensive side of the ball that even raised an eyebrow.
I would agree. Look, I mean, I think you outlined it perfectly. The only real question was, you know, are you going to keep, you know, the amount of offensive linemen? I think most people, you know, after Hawkins went to IR, I think it was, you know, easy to connect the dots and say, you know, Hubbard and B.J. Finney were both going to make that roster, especially when you consider that Cody Wallace had that knee injury, a couple of weeks ago. He's still got some uncertainty, you know, around whether or not he'll be ready for the opener as well there too. So, yeah, zero surprises outside of the only question being, From moving forward now, I guess, is, hey, is Xavier Grimble a guy that you can live with? I mean, you're obviously, to say that he's going to be stuck on this 53-man roster all season long, you just can't do that. There's no guarantees there. You know, can you go out and get a guy, you know, a veteran? We'll see if they, you know, look, the Redskins just cut a very, very decent tight end, in my opinion, as well, too. So we'll have to see. But that was it as far as the offense goes.
Yeah, and the reality here is there was a little less turnover than any of us expected because of the news here that we just learned yesterday afternoon with Bud Dupree. And that's obviously now the talking point, because what we saw when the Steelers cut their roster, I'd say we can say the defensive line is exactly what Dave and I suggested it would be. LT Walton is guy number six. You knew the other five guys with Ricardo Matthews and Javon Hargrave. That was very straightforward stuff. And we see that two of these guys get to the practice squad. Keshad Lyons, who was the guy around last year. And I thought it would be Hooks, but it turns out it's Maxie as a guy who went to the practice squad. So, Dave, nothing on the D-line either, right? So we're going right back to the two positions we spent all our time talking about. But the D-line went as expected?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people had that circled with those six guys for quite a while. I mean, it's hard not to, you know, with those guys. Sure, there was maybe a minor question to how that battle between LT Walton and Keshad Lyons would go, but I think LT Walton showed early on in the preseason that he really deserves that spot. So, yeah, absolutely. Defensive end or defensive line as a whole, those spots went as expected.
All right, now we can get the clown horn out and, you know, get the pom-poms and everything else, because what everybody, and Dave and I are probably as much as anybody in that group, was interested to see how the linebacker cuts went. And as we sit today, we can pretty much say this thing went exactly as expected and exactly as the Steelers told us it would go. And by that, I mean this. The Steelers put Bud Dupree on injured reserve. None of us knew that was going to happen. But in hindsight, what we look and see is during the preseason, we saw that running second on the depth chart on the inside linebacker position was Vince Williams and L.J. Fort. And L.J. Fort, I still will insist, was ahead of Tyler Matakevich and Steve Johnson. And so the question was, how many of these guys are they going to keep? What's the situation going to be? Well, obviously, you know, they make the cut of Steven Johnson, the veteran, which has been unusual because they have a history of keeping the guys that they signed to these contracts. But why did they pick Steven Johnson to cut? Because he's going to clear waivers because he's making a little bit more money than the other guys. He was a guy already out in the market. It's not going to raise any eyebrows that you're cutting a draft choice or anything along those lines. So he was the guy who I'm sure they thought could most easily get back. You know, they got to pick one. Maybe they all could have. Maybe they wouldn't have. But they pick one to cut, and then they bring him back. So the linebacker picture looks very much like we thought it would, except they kept an extra guy because Bud Dupree goes on IR. So you can argue that it wouldn't have been Steven Johnson, or it would have been Tyler, or it would have been L.J. Fort. I don't know that we'll ever know the answer, but I don't know it's clear that it wouldn't have been Steven Johnson. It was just Steven Johnson was the guy who clearly they felt had the best chance of clearing waivers. Dave, does that make sense to you or no?
Well, first of all, Steven Johnson did not have to clear waivers, so that's.
Oh, right. You know what? You're right. Right. It makes it even better because he's a vested veteran.
Right. So he is this year's Doug Ligursky, if you think about it.
Yeah, great point. Great point.
So why not pick the guy that you can have the handshake agreement with, that you don't have to pass through waivers, and say, look, we're going to throw you out here on the outside. You're the 54 right now. We need to make this move. And then as soon as we place Bud Dupree on IR, you're back in the fold again. Now, here's the only thing that if I'm Steven Johnson, I'm mad about. Remember, I told you he had $55,000 signing bonus attached to him making the initial 53. So obviously, when you terminate a contract like that, as the Steelers had to do with Johnson, that contract's null and void. So hopefully, for the Steelers' sake, as part of that agreement, they said, look, we need to throw you outside real quick here. We need that door pass from you and your keys and everything. But look, as soon as just stand outside here with the boombox, over the top of your head, we'll be right back to you. And hopefully, when they let him back in that door and they re-sign him to the contract, they put that $55,000 signing bonus back in there. And we'll know in a couple of days whether or not they did. But this was obviously a plan, David. Mike Tomlin trying to tell us that Bud Dupree had a chance to play in that preseason finale. Yeah, right. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if there. So even our doctor friend Melanie posted on Twitter, is you can have an initial diagnosis of a pulled groin muscle, and it's difficult to diagnose the sports hernia. It's just a minuscule difference in where the tear is. And so the Steelers may very well have, in the process here, said, we'll give him some time. It looks like this is it, but we're not sure, as that didn't heal. The diagnosis changes a little bit to a sports hernia. And it looks like, and this was not initially, I think, reported correctly, but it sounds like Bud Dupree is probably going to have surgery, I would guess tomorrow or Wednesday, to get this taken care of. And now, now all the intrigue starts, because putting together the linebackers and the DBs, we all assumed, and I think correctly, that Cenkwes Golson was going to go to the IR and eventually be that player who returns. Well, now they carry Cenkwes Golson. And the idea there is that if he is ready just a little bit earlier, he can get some practice time, which he's had none of, which at least Bud Dupree's got a season under his belt. And so the Steelers are effectively, it looks like, going to play with a 52-man roster, which, they play with a 46-game-day roster, so it's not necessarily that big a deal. But they're going to do that, it looks like, for the time being, unless the diagnosis or the healing process for Cenkwes Golson doesn't go as planned.
Yes, you are correct. It appears as though, now this could change as quick as it did on Saturday as well too. But on the surface, it looks like they're going to carry Cenkwes Golson for first couple of games as one of their seven inactives. Remember us running down the potential inactives the other day, Dave, and we said that that's probably going to be whatever cornerback that the Steelers acquire. Well, basically, the cornerback that they acquired is a guy that you can dress because he can immediately play special teams in Justin Gilbert. So you need one of these guys not to dress. So why not make it Cenkwes Golson? And they have the way this 53 is constructed, they have room to play around, barring a slew of injuries happening, which nobody can predict that kind of thing in the first quarter of the season here. But you have a guy like Jordan Dangerfield on your roster now, I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess that is something to do with Shamarco Thomas not being 100%. So let's say that Shamarco gets himself back healthy in a couple of weeks here. Well, Jordan Dangerfield is a guy that you can shuttle back and forth with on your 53-man roster if you need a spot. You got a guy in B.J. Finney that I think you might be able to play games with as far as shuffling back and forth to the roster. And Tyler Matakevich fan club is not going to hear this. I'd like to hear this as well, but I think Matakevich is maybe a guy that you can play games with, push comes to shove, as far as shuttling him back and forth to the roster. And then, oh yeah, Xavier Grimble. Who's worried about Xavier Grimble being claimed off of waivers right now? So when you look at the way this roster's constructed, when you consider that Bud Dupree is going to probably need 7-8 weeks or so here, when you consider that if you did put a guy like Golson on IR with him, you would only be able to choose one of the two to return later in the season, and when you add on the fact that Golson may not be ready to be back around, let's say, week five, week six, well then, sure, it makes kind of sense that they're going to carry him on this 53-man roster, and just as you said, work with a 52-man kind of unit here moving forward for at least first quarter of the season.
And Dave, not to get too far down the line, but if you want to take a best case scenario, and understand, you know, this is the optimistic case here, you've got a situation with the Steelers where 6 weeks into the season or 8 weeks into the season, you have the possibility of having gotten four guys that you projected as starters back on the team. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, we know, is going to be back in week four. It sounds like, and again, you know, I don't take this as gospel because the Steelers have been somewhat wrong about this so far, but it sounds like Darius Green should be reasonably ready to go coming off the PUP list. Now, maybe it takes him a week or two to get into game shape, but 6 to 8 weeks in, which is also close to the timeline for Sanquez Golson, 6 to 8 weeks. And again, he hasn't played at all, so who knows if he contributes, but he'll certainly have the opportunity now to kind of stand around and practice and be, you know, he's obviously not running yet, but he's going to be more actively involved. He's not on the IR, so he can do those things. And then Bud Dupree as well. So, you know, come week 12 or, you know, after the bye week or you get into the first week of December, the Steelers might have a lot of guys contributing that aren't going to contribute much here at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, unfortunately, in the meantime...
And throw Artie Burns in there, too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in the meantime, don't waste your breath dealing with the Steelers' Minister of Defense, Mike Tomlin. Tried. I know you said you're still probably going to try to needle him for information about how Ladarius Green's coming along, and now you can kind of ask him about how Bud Dupree's coming along. But anything that comes out of Mike Tomlin's mouth as far as injuries go, I'm not buying it at all, and I doubt you're going to get much of anything out of him. David, you know, when you look at this in the tight end position right now, would you even consider a guy like Logan Paulson, a guy that, you know, did not have to clear waivers, a guy who's a fairly decent blocker, a guy that Danny Smith probably is familiar with during the time that he spent with the Redskins there. Is this a guy that you go to and see, you know, if he's interested in joining this team?
Well, you got a couple things here. One is whether you think Xavier Grimble is a guy who has any long-term future with your team, because if you do, I mean, we're generally talking about a 6 to 7 week period here, because if you believe what Colbert said, he said 3 to 4 weeks, he feels like that's when Ladarius Green will be ready. So hopefully he's running at full speed at that point, and hopefully over the course of this time he's gotten into the playbook. Unlike Sanquez Golson, he has played in the league for a bunch of years, so none of this should be unfamiliar to him. So his integration back into the team should be relatively quick. So the answer is I would look at everybody, but I would have to have a clear upgrade. And the reality is, if there's a clear upgrade, depending on what I thought of Xavier Grimble's potential, maybe David Johnson would be the guy at risk. I mean, look, I've never been a huge David Johnson fan. He is a guy who they're comfortable with. He's been with the team. So I'm not knocking David Johnson. I'm just saying, you know exactly what David Johnson is. He's an adequate blocker. He's not much of a receiving threat. He'll play some special teams for you on teams, but you know, he is a fungible guy. So if I could upgrade David Johnson, I would absolutely do it. And then it, you know, then it goes back to, if you think Xavier Grimble still has potential to be a guy who can help you in the league, then his ceiling's higher than David Johnson. If it's not, well, then who cares, and you know, move along if there's anything out there.
Well, here's the thing with Grimble. You can easily cut this, you know, waive this guy and get him right back to the practice squad without issue, in my opinion. So the reason I think you need David Johnson around is, A, Roosevelt Nix is banged up with something right now. We'll see if Nix is ready by the opener.
This Wednesday injury report is going to be very interesting to see where Shamarco is, to see where Nix is, to see, you know, a couple of these other guys.
So with that in mind, and if you look back to the way they did last year, they had a kind of a flex guy in Will Johnson, a guy that can play fullback, a guy that can play tight end, a guy that can play H-back. You have that.
For those who didn't see it, who went on the IR for the New York Giants, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, so David Johnson can be that guy for you this year. And, I mean, let's face it, Grimble didn't we got cheated as far as the hype went dating back to last year on Xavier Grimble. So with that said, I think if a guy like Logan Paulson is willing to sign a one-year deal for you with an $80,000 signing bonus, I think you snatch him up, and I think he's your number two or 2A as the season progresses. Obviously, right now, Jesse James is going to be your number one. But, you know, if you want a good number two out there, a guy that can function as a pass catcher, a guy that can function as a you know, end of the line tight end, is he Matt Spaeth? No. But, you know, it's not a bad option if you ask me. A great, great locker room guy from what I understand. A guy that can help you out on special teams too. So that's what I'm doing today on this Labor Day. If I'm the Steelers, I'm flying Logan Paulson in and seeing if I can't sign him to some sort of deal. And if that's the case, then I'm shipping Xavier Grimble to waivers and then back to the practice squad.
I'm surprised we haven't heard anybody say, have they given Heath Miller a call lately?
Oh, I've heard it. Yeah. Sleep easy, David Todd. I've heard it.
Okay. All right. So, Dave, then, so the linebacker situation, obviously, that, you know, we'll see the injury report. We're looking at Marcus Gilbert. We're looking at Cam Hayward. We're looking at Anthony Chiccolo. We're looking at Ricardo Matthews. We're looking at Shamarco Thomas. And we're looking at who's the guy you just said?
What position are you talking about?
The injury report. We're looking at Cam Hayward. We're looking at Marcus Gilbert. We're looking at Anthony Chiccolo, Ricardo Matthews,
Roosevelt Nix.
And Roosevelt Nix. Right. So we'll be looking at all those guys. And then, okay, we get to the defensive backfield. Now, obviously, Gilbert gets a spot immediately, okay? Senquist Golson, we knew, needed a spot. And then the obvious surprise here is not necessarily Dorian Grant got cut, although that did surprise us all because, you know, you just don't see the trade coming. But if you think back to the preseason, there were three touchdowns where Dorian Grant was involved in a blown coverage. Now, I'm not saying it was 100% Dorian Grant's fault, but he was three different times involved in a blown coverage that led directly to touchdowns. And, you know, he made a name for himself a little bit in that first preseason game because, A, he picked off a pass for a touchdown. Now, it was an easy play, but he made it. And he made some tackles, and he looked good in his tackling. And as time went on, I think there was some skepticism about his play, to the point where in the postgame show after the last game, Matt Williamson and I were talking about it, and he said, if you had to go to your next corner, you're probably going to go to Dorian Grant ahead of Artie Burns. And I looked at him and said, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, Artie Burns may be a little bit raw, but, he clearly – I think I'm more comfortable with Artie Burns than Dorian Grant playing tomorrow or playing on Monday night against the Skins if that's what you had to go to. And it turns out, you know, the Steelers obviously weren't going to cut Artie Burns, but they're obviously not that comfortable with Dorian Grant. And so he goes, and Dangerfield's ability to play safety and the physical nature of what he did, ability to play special teams, he finally gets, at least as of today, he gets a bump.
Yeah, and you know the thing with Dorian Grant is, you know, a lot of people thought, well, okay, well, he was surely going to circle back around to the 53. Well, you know, that doesn't
to the practice
yeah,
squad.
Yeah, or to the practice squad, or be the guy, you know, after this, you know, this was before the Bud Dupree thing went down. People thought he's coming back to the 53 maybe. Well, that obviously didn't happen there. So, you know, look, this is the second time the team has parted ways with Dorian Grant prior to the start of the season here. So we'll have to it doesn't look good. And this is a guy that I thought had a fairly good football IQ, you know. So he obviously didn't – look, his play during the preseason starting at that Lions game went downhill ever since then. So I guess in the grand scheme of things, even though probably 97 out of 100 people had him on the 53, you know, you could see the reason why they looked elsewhere.
Yeah, and so that means, you know, when we talk about surprises, you know, we look at it, Dave, if we look at this team as it's comprised today versus as it was – comprised on July 4th, you know, when basically decisions were done and they're going to camp. I mean, you've got two obvious moves that were significant in terms of Mettenberger and Justin Gilbert, who were NFL veterans who were not in the picture. So those are clear surprises, no matter how you phrase them. The role of Eli Rogers is a bit of a surprise in terms of how much he is going to be involved, it looks like, going forward. Darryl Richardson kind of won his spot, but that's due to Le'Veon Bell. And then you go to the defensive side. I mean, I think you say Ricardo Matthews shined. The first three picks have looked good, and you feel good about it. And then at linebacker, you know, it's just the injury. You know, we knew that Matakevich and Finney would make a case for themselves, and it was Matakevich who got the inside track. And then at DB, it's Dangerfield over Dorian Grant. But, you know, the reality is it's a little bit different than you might have thought, maybe five names different. But, you know, the significant guys are the significant guys. And it's, you know, Martavis Bryant, Ladarius Green, Le'Veon Bell, Bud Dupree, and Senquez Golson, these guys who are all going to be significant people back in February. You know, none of them are going to start the season. And obviously in Bryant's case and potentially Dupree's case, they may not play at all.
And we talked about that inside linebacker battle for the last several weeks, talking about, I don't know, you know, Matakevich, Steven Johnson, L.J. Fort. I think I said specifically in that last podcast, I don't know, you could see any combination of good arguments for keeping any of the two. Well, they ended up keeping all three. So, I mean, that just goes to kind of show you how close that battle, you know, really, really was. And we'll just have to see. Now, will they carry you know, this many inside linebackers all regular, you know, all throughout the regular season? Probably not. You know, odds are good that at some point that number six, you know, at that position group is going to go down to five, assuming everybody stays healthy. But you got three.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this. Can you see them? I mean, obviously it sounds unlikely, but, you know, Johnson he's not really an inside linebacker. He's a special teams player. Fort, you know, he didn't do a ton on special teams. Matakevich is a special teams player. Could you see them dressing all three and having all three of them play special teams? I mean, I get that's not going to happen probably in week one.
Well, it very well could, especially with Bud Dupree now not there, right? I mean,
yep. That means you dress all 10 linebackers.
Because, I mean, look, James Harrison's not playing special teams. Jarvis Jones is not playing special teams. Do you really want Arthur Motes playing special teams right now?
No, I'd have Chicolo playing special teams.
Yeah, though. I think I'd have Chicolo playing special teams. You're not going to have Timmons playing special teams, Shazier. You're obviously going to have Vince Williams. I don't know. You can make an argument, Dave. In fact, look, I still think with all these linebackers on the roster right now, I think you dress. I think you dress 10. Somebody's going to be the odd man out, and right now it's hard to see. I can't see Matakevich getting a helmet in week one. Now, past that, you know, it's anybody's guess with the way the injuries roll. But I really think that you'll see Matakevich be one of these seven inactives for the week one game Monday night.
What am I getting wrong here? Because I'm only counting 10 linebackers, right? They got 10, right? Six inside and four outside. They can dress them all, right?
I'm sorry. What did I say? 11?
Yeah, you said 10. It was
11 initially. Then Bud Dupree went to.
Yeah, right. So you think they'll dress 9?
Right. Correct, sir.
Okay, and so we're thinking about that, and you know we'll see what happens with Shamarco's injury. So, who is the most likely DB? Is it Dangerfield to be inactive, or I mean, look, Golson's inactive, so that gets you to 9, right? Do the rest of them dress?
Either Shamarco or Dangerfield, probably not. I think that's why Dangerfield's on this roster, because Shamarco's probably not healthy, right? With that groin, so. This is a guess. Here's my inactive list for week one as the roster sits here right now. Zach Mettenberger.
Give him to me. Give me one at a time. Okay, I agree. Mettenberger one.
Okay,
yep.
Mettenberger one.
EJ Finney.
Right, Finney and Hubbard.
Yep, I agree. 2-3.
LT Walton.
We're obviously assuming that Cody Wallace is healthy.
Correct.
So.
And if not, Cody replaces one of those.
Yep. Yep.
LT Walton.
Yep, 4. Cinquez Golson.
Yeah, Cinquez Golson. Matakevich.
Yep.
Dangerfield. Or Thomas, either one.
Yep, okay. I agree with that. The question is, would you dress LT Walton over LJ Fort? So maybe something, or that might be the only other thing that I would say. If they decide they want to, depending on Hayward's situation, you know, do you dress LT Walton in case, Cam has an issue or Cam's not quite 100%, and then LJ Fort sits with Matakevich and Walton plays?
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that you have. You know, the only question you have heading into that game and setting that inactive list.
And then I guess if you needed a guy, if you had to find a guy to sit, I mean, do you need Darryl Richardson? Is he a guaranteed to play guy?
Well, here you know, if you really needing one other guy to sit, because of maybe you wanting to dress another. Another defensive lineman. Let's say you want, because look, you're scared Cam Hayward on that ankle. You know you don't want him to go play 60 snaps. So you want to dress all six of your defensive linemen. You know who the guy that you don't give a helmet to?
Well, I would say it's Fort or Richardson, but who you got?
Sammy Coates.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, but think about it, right? Your boy Eli Rogers is going to be in the slot, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you need two guys to stretch the field and Coates and Darius Hayward-Bey? I mean, do you need
– I think you will see – honest to goodness, I believe this. I think you'll see an almost perfect rotation, not sequentially, but I really think – you know, let's say the Steelers get 70 offensive snaps. Antonio Brown's going to pay. Play 68 offensive snaps or 70 offensive snaps, whatever the number's going to be. It would not surprise me if the other four guys played 30.
Okay, but hear me out here. Give me a good reason why you need all five of those guys dressed.
Well, I just think Coates is going to be more useful than Darryl Richardson. He's a dangerous guy. He showed he can do some things, and I'd rather bench Richardson than Coates.
All right, I can understand that, but I don't think I don't think you want to go into that game with just dressing two running backs.
Then I'd sit for it. But yeah, no, it's an interesting idea. So, all right, Dave, since you know I know you got a fantasy draft, but let's just kind of step back here and we saw a lot happening on Wednesday. We'll have the Mike Tomlin press conference to review, so we'll definitely spend time doing that, and we'll get a beat writer on from the Skins, so that we'll do that. We haven't had any time to go around the league. We'll do some of that on Friday. But so let's just kind of step back now and say you look at this Steelers team, And, you know, no Bud Dupree, no Senquez Golson on that side, no Le'Veon Bell and no Martavis Bryant, no Ladarius Green on the other side. This is a team that might look different, as we talked about at the midway point of the season. How do you feel about where they are right now?
I'm not very concerned about the offense, David, even without Ladarius Green. It would be nice to have him, but boy, what a pleasant surprise a guy like Eli Rogers is, who, you know, is going to see some time. We just don't know how much time. Obviously, the tight end position kind of worries you right now. Can a guy like Jesse James? I really would like to see them go out and get a guy like Logan, you know, Paulson and all like that to kind of shore this thing up. But offense is not where I'm worried about right now. It's defense. It's the outside linebacker position. Can this unit get pressure on opposing quarterbacks? I mean, I think am I doing cartwheels and fist pumps about the shape of the cornerback position right now? No, I'm not. But I think if you have a good pass rush, it's going to make your secondary better. So my main concern right now heading into the season is pretty much where it's been all offseason. Is there enough – can this front get enough pass rush on the opposing quarterback without constantly having to blitz, you know, as much as they did last year? Can you start getting home with four and that kind of thing? Because look, I mean, you had 15 total sacks out of your outside linebacker group last year. James Harrison had 5. Bud Dupree had 4. Bud Dupree's starting the season on IR. Boy, a guy like
James Harrison had 3 of those sacks in the fourth quarter against the Colts. I'll keep saying
right, Moats had one late too, right? You know, So, you know, that's the big question mark I think you look at with this 2016 Steelers. It points to the defensive side of football, and in my opinion, if you want to split hairs, it's more about this pass rush and the outside linebackers than it is anything else, in my opinion.
You know, if the fairy godmother touches the Steelers in a positive way over the next 12 months, you know, you've got a corner situation of Golson on the inside with Yardie Burns and Justin Gilbert on the outside. You'd say, you know, you're set. You're good to go with Sean Davis and Mike Mitchell. All of a sudden, you've got, you know, if everybody's at their ceiling and doing, you know, what they were forecasted to do coming out of college to where they are, you'd say, my goodness, you know, that's an awfully good setup in the defensive backfield. You go get some edge rushers. You know, you go find your edge rushers, and you got a defense. But obviously, we're nowhere close to near that point. But I saw you on Twitter yesterday, Dave, make a comment, and I think you were being serious, but I just want to double check. You said James Harrison is the Steelers' best outside linebacker at this point in time. Do you believe that?
Absolutely, I do.
Expound.
He's better against.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want you to fill it in.
I think he's great against the run. And we've seen what he's done during the preseason. That old man can still get after the quarterback, you know, with that rip move, that rip and under move and all. And you know, yeah. And he is the guy that I think that can most consistently. Now, look, I mean, is he a guy you want to drop into coverage a lot? Absolutely not. I mean, you're going to have Jarvis on that side do that. The good thing is we saw some good stuff out of Moats during the preseason. He can play both sides. But I think hands down, James Harrison, you know, is your best outside linebacker of the group right now. So –
How many snaps, assuming he's the foot injury is nothing serious, how many snaps does Anthony Ciccolo get against the Skins? 20?
Probably not even that much, David. I think you roll Moats, Jarvis, and Harrison out there, and I would definitely take under 20 for Ciccolo. Is he going to see some time? Absolutely, but I just don't know. If it's as much as 20, I think maybe 5 to 10.
Okay. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot to digest, but it's the stories are relatively straightforward. I mean, Dupree's injury is what it is. Golson is a reaction, I think, to Dupree's injury. And the Gilbert trade is the thing that set all of this in motion to structure the roster like it was, because – And the reality is there are not a lot of surprises here in terms of what was done. It's just the Steelers made a trade, and that trade and Dupree's injury have, you know, put the stamp on what the 53 looks like. But I think we're pretty much all on board in terms of talking about it the last 2 weeks in terms of who the players are. If you're going to say, you know, one guy who's not around you didn't expect to be Duran Grant, everybody kind of assumed he would make the team just because of the lack of depth at the position. They didn't sniff Montel Garner to the practice squad. They did. Let's just quickly do the practice squad and we'll get it going. I'm surprised there are two running backs there. It doesn't make sense to me because you're effectively carrying an extra running back on the squad as it is because Bell's under suspension. So that was surprise number one, Dave. I was a little surprised, as I said at the top, that it was Maxey over Hooks as the second defensive lineman. The offensive lineman makes sense. The tight end they picked up, okay. Al-Shabazz is the corner back there. I'm not sure who I'm missing, but the practice squad, Finney and Ayers and Kobe Hamilton, you know, all kind of as expected. So we saw a lot of turnover in Steelers, but they weren't active in terms of taking guys from other guys' rosters. I mean, the Mettenberger waiver claim, Gilbert on the trade, and then go out and sign the tight end to the practice squad. But this took shape much more than it has the past two seasons with what the Steelers had and kind of right as we expected.
Yeah, and the tight end, we kind of got a heads up about him being brought in for a workout. So it's no surprise they signed Rashawn Allen. Two running backs. Maybe this has something to do being as how Cameron Stingley's the bigger of the two. Maybe this is somehow related to Knicks. And maybe an issue. Maybe they just need another body. They're not going to carry both these running backs on the practice squad very long, I wouldn't think.
No, I'm with you. I think you're going to find another defensive back, or most likely another defensive back, because Shabazz is the only one, right? There's no safety, right?
Correct. Shabazz is the only defensive back right now.
Yeah, so I would think at some point one of those running backs goes. And you're looking at another linebacker, defensive back on that on the practice squad. So, it was eventful. It was a lot to digest. But again, as you step back now on Labor Day, let me ask you this, Dave: do you think from now till Wednesday morning, so in the next 48 hours, do you think the Steelers make what's the over under on making a roster move?
I mean, that's a good question. If it's going to be anybody, in my opinion, it's going to be Logan Paulson. I think it's a tight end or nothing at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I would bet on nothing. And I think this is now, you know, what we see going in. And so the only real change from what they did on the cuts is putting Bud Dupree on the IR and bringing back Steven Johnson, which makes this a much less eventful post Saturday 4 p.m. than we have seen prior. But certainly we got the fireworks with Justin Gilbert, and that was high entertainment value for Steeler Nation. And look, as we said at the top, it's a lottery ticket that if you just got a good kick returner, you probably got fair value for your sixth round pick 2 years from now. If Gilbert has if he's averaging like he was, I think 28 yards a return last year, does something like that, and the Steelers solidify that position and don't have to go look at the Jacoby Joneses of the world, it's probably a positive for this team. So if they get anything more, well, you know, let's get the champagne.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get more on this on Wednesday. Have the beat writer in as well, too. Start looking ahead to the Washington game as well. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Find the donate button up top. Look for the post from Melanie later today on Steelers Depot talking all about the Bud Dupree injury. That'll be well worth your time as well, too. David, happy Labor Day. Thanks. I look forward to doing this again with you on Wednesday.
Yeah, good luck in the draft. Happy Labor Day to all our listeners. Have a healthy and safe Labor Day. We're back at it on Wednesday. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.